Hello and welcome back to In the Loop. I'm Ed Edens, your host, and once again, today we'll be talking baseball. Season is getting closer and closer. World Baseball Classic is underway, and just recently, two top 100 Major League Baseball prospect lists came out, one by Keith Law and the other by Baseball America. So I'm going to have two of my good friends on today to talk about those lists and get their insight, Don Sizek and Pat Hayes, two guys I've known for a long time, been playing our Fantasy Baseball Keeper League together for many years now, and we've got some opinions on these guys, because we own them in our league, or at least some of them, so let's give Don a call and see what he thinks.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Donald?
Hey, Ed, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good, doing good. Just looking over some of these prospects right now.
All right, good news. That's what I'm calling you to talk about. Keith Law's list, top 100 prospects came out last week, and I'll be honest, it's pretty much like a holiday for me. one of the days of the year that I look forward to the most. We've been talking about this for a little bit. Obviously, we're in the same fantasy baseball keeper league that consumes way too much of our time. And this is obviously a big day because we're looking towards the future pretty consistently. And these are the guys that are the future of the sport. So I'd just like to go through some of these names and see what you thought. We obviously sent some things back and forth. Some things that surprised us, some interesting guys we want to take a look at. So I'll let you take it away with some of your initial reactions when you first saw the list.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it. First of all, before we get started, I just want to make ourselves clear that we are in a competitive fantasy league, so we can't. I'm not going to be giving away too many of my hints here, but I'm all for touching the surface of these prospects. So I appreciate you having me on.
Of course, man. And that is a good point. There is some conflict of interest here because, we are in a 10-team fantasy baseball keeper league where we keep all 25 of our guys. And then in addition to that, we have an 8-man minor league roster. So we own a lot of these guys we're going to be talking about. We'll probably have to make some full disclosures. But it's obvious it's a very competitive league, and I'm not going to give away all my sleepers either, just so you know. But what was your first reaction when you saw the list? Obviously, you knew a couple of those guys were going to be up at the top, but there are some surprises for me in the top 10.
I absolutely agree. I mean, every list is different. It was between Baseball America and ESPN and MLB, but we tend to like keep a lot of opinions about stuff. So I think this list is pretty fair, pretty accurate. My initial reaction though is Xander Bogaerts of the Boston Red Sox at number 5. He's a shortstop. I just don't hear much about him throughout the season, but looking at his numbers, puts up pretty good numbers, but I don't know. At age 20, I feel like I'd like to see a little bit more out of him. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Bogaerts?
No, that was a really good point. after you're on, I'm going to have on our other fellow league member, Pat, and he said the same thing. He thought Bogaerts was a little bit overrated, and I'm in full agreement. You talk about the Red Sox organization, and ever since they made the trade for Adrian Gonzalez a couple of years ago, their organization hasn't been particularly strong. And I've heard the name Bogaerts out there along with like Jackie Bradley Jr., but I'd never interpreted them as some high impact guys. And anytime you're talking about a top 10 prospect in any given year, it's typically somebody who has a ceiling of an all-star, or a gold glove winner, or, potentially one day a Hall of Famer. And I mean, like you said, Bogaerts is 20 years old. Last year, he was ranked 62nd on the list. And he had a season where he hit 300 and just under 500 at bats, 20 home runs. But I guess it was just more, average, above average quality for an extended period of time. Whereas some of these guys, you have like a breakout month and they hit 10 home runs, and then maybe they get injured and you don't hear very much from them. So, I mean, I'm just going to wait and see what happens in 2013.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking at the little write-up they have on Bogaerts, and even Keith Law is saying if he keeps his waist lean and his lower half athletic, so it looks like he might be a bigger guy, and there are questions of whether he's even going to stick at shortstop. So I think that kind of falls into my hesitancy on him at number five. I think I need to be sure that he's sticking at shortstop and that he stays athletic in order to keep him at five, but those are my opinions on him.
No, I agree. Going down the list, it's a couple other guys. You had Addison Russell at number 10, a little bit overrated as well, and I believe he's on your minor league roster. Is that right?
Yeah, he is. So this is just going to show that I'm not taking any sides here, because he is on my team, but I still feel like 10 is too high for a guy that's only 19 years old. He also is shortstop. This questions whether he's going to stick there or not. He does have the potential. Don't get me wrong. These are prospects, so I guess that is what we're going off of. But with only 217 at bats last year and 7 home runs, 45 RBIs, 10 is just way too high for me to put Russell in the category of the elite prospects in the league.
I mean, if you talk about the Oakland Athletics, they have a history, especially Billy Beane, of very intelligent drafting. I'm sure they had their reasons for taking this guy. And if you do look at his numbers, I mean, he only did hit 7 home runs, but it was his first professional season. It was only half a season, and he did slug .594. So it is no fluke, as far as I can tell. He had that potential coming out of the draft. He also stole 16 bases. So there is that reasoning there, but it did also seem a little bit high for me. And then the last guy you had overrated a little bit, Anthony Rendon. I feel like this guy is just consistently an injury risk. And if he could put together a full season, you could make a better assessment. But, I mean, what do the Nationals get out of this former number 6 overall pick?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I agree with you. The reason I have him overrated is his health. I mean, this guy has never proven to be healthy, and with only 133 at bats last year, I don't see him being worthy of a 17th spot on this list right now. And he's blocked by Ryan Zimmerman at third base. So I know that should really take into account this prospect list, but I just see him being blocked, being an injury risk, and not seeing too much of him, frankly, so far is what was holding me back from him.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he is blocked, but you can't really take that into consideration when you're ranking prospects. You take into consideration potential, and if he does develop one way or another, the Nationals are going to get him in that lineup, whether it's changing position or trying to unload Zimmerman or moving Zimmerman somewhere else. But he did bat .233 in 133 at bats, which is not the best of signs, but he did slug .489. So, you know, there is the power potential there. He only struck out, he struck out a whopping 29 times in those 133 at bats, but he also walked 23 times. So, I mean, I'm trying to think of a comparison here. Obviously, like Adam Dunn doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's a lot of strikeouts and a lot of walks for a very limited time frame.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
And with that high slugging percentage, it's just Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on this one. It's you don't know. I don't think you know what you're going to get with him. There's good signs and there's bad signs, and with his health issues, it's a little too much, you know.
Yeah, it's like feast or famine. Going on to some underrated guys you had. It's kind of an underrated list of pitchers, actually. Zach Wheeler, Jameson Taillon, Shelby Miller, and Trevor Bauer. A couple of these guys had, number one ace starter potential, and then one thing or another had them set back. Even though Zach Wheeler's at 13, you think he's underrated at that position?
I do a little bit. The guy's 20 years old. He's an athletic pitcher. They say he's working on his feel for a changeup, but he has a potential to be no worse than a number two starter. I think the Mets are high on this guy, and I feel like it's time to give him a chance. And frankly, in my opinion, I value age when it comes to prospects. And guys that are closer to the majors, I feel like should be a little bit more valuable if they've have proven numbers, proven track record. So I feel like Wheeler should be slightly higher, not too much higher, but I'm definitely a fan of his.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his as well. I did have him on my minor league squad at one point, traded him to Pat Hayes back in the day, but he did put together that solid season. He is 22, and he probably, if he doesn't break camp with the Mets this year, he'll be up absolutely by midseason, I'd say. And I don't know, you got 148 strikeouts and 149 innings last year. ERA in the low threes. I kind of disagree with you on the prospect philosophy, though. If you're talking about a guy who's 22 and has got a potential to be solid number two, maybe if he makes a couple adjustments, all of a sudden, he's an ace. But I'd rather take a guy who, has those tools and the raw potential to be that number one guy. If he's 18 years old and he's throwing high 90s and he's got an out pitch, I'd rather take that guy with the raw talent and has the years to develop than somebody who can just put a full season together and be a league average or above average. So, that's just a change in philosophy, and it all relates back to just a 10-man fantasy league. But it also goes up to the major league guys too, because you have organizations who would rather take a flyer on a young guy like that, and then the Mets in their position of rebuilding probably take a guy who's a little bit older like Wheeler.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, it's hard to distinguish between where we rank these guys fantasy-wise and where you rank them in real life. And then exactly as you said, your own fantasy philosophies on top of that, where you might be competitive right now and you want a guy that's closer to reaching the majors that could help impact your team, or a team that is rebuilding that is willing to wait for a guy such as Addison Russell, who's only, 19 years old, I believe, or 20 years old, 19 years old. I mean, you're willing to wait on a guy like that to develop for a few more years before he's brought up. So, yeah, I mean, I understand where our philosophies are mixing on this, but I would just put him slightly higher, maybe touching the top 10. So it's not too big of an improvement, but
I do
like him.
That's a good point. Obviously, it wouldn't be as high as a guy like Dylan Bundy up near the top of the list. But what's your take on Shelby Miller? I've heard a lot of different opinions on this guy. I had him in our league at one point, and he just had a terrible first half of 2012. Seemed to make adjustments in the second half, but you still had him underrated at, I believe, 20 or 21, number 21 on the list. Do you think this guy still could be the number one starter the Cardinals are looking for?
Absolutely. I highly rank Shelby Miller. I even had him a few years ago, I think, on my fantasy team. And I certainly do think he could be that ace. As you said, his first half, second half splits from last year were unbelievable. I think that relates to some of his mechanical issues that he solved in the second half of the year. And I mean, just looking at some of these numbers, he only walked 7 guys in the second half with 70 strikeouts and gave up 24 total home runs last year, and only 7 of them came in the second half. So I think that has to show that he figured out his problems, most likely mechanically, and he's been a high prospect for a long time. So I definitely think he could be the ace of the Cardinals bought in with for a long time ago.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it does suck for me personally, just because I let him go for an injured Carl Crawford after I thought Shelby was on the downslope. And, you know, Crawford could still have a comeback year and maybe be hopefully 80% of what he is. But I do think Shelby has that upside, and I just kind of I wake up in the morning sometimes and I wish Shelby he was still on my team. Obviously not one of the biggest regrets I have in our league history, but it's up there. One of the guys that I had underrated, who was a little bit lower on the list, Danny Hulton. I think he was in the mid 60s, around 66 or so. The Mariners left-handed pitcher put up decent numbers last year. He was ranked a little bit higher, I believe, in preseason of last year. Yeah, he was number 30 before last year, 66 this year. He put up a season where he had 136 Ks and 124 innings with a 3.05 ERA. I mean, he reached AAA. He did real well in AA. I don't know why he's not on the top half of this list easily, if not reaching the top 20 or 30.
Yeah, absolutely. just reading, I don't know a whole lot about Hulton. I know he's been a big name prospect for a while, so 66 is a little surprising to me. But just reading Keith Law's description, it seems like he has a little bit of mechanical issues that could be holding him back. It says he cuts himself off rather than landing straight to the plate. He's cutting, when Keith Law saw him in AAA, he's cutting himself off more than ever. So Keith Law is a good scout for talent, and if he sees this as being a big problem, then more likely than not, I mean, that's probably what's holding him back. But like you said, even with those numbers, I mean, I don't see how he could be that low. So I certainly agree with you on that one.
I think I almost get the feeling that that the velocity is playing into this a lot more than maybe it should. Keith Law says he sits 88 to 92. I don't see why that should make a difference if he's putting up results. I mean, you've seen guys in the majors with not a lot of velocity have, you know, perfectly fine careers, if not above average or all-star laden careers. And Keith Law says he projects as a number three starter, a solid number three. I don't know. If you're putting up especially those strikeout numbers and you can change speeds, you know, maximum velocity shouldn't have a big say in that. But I guess that's just one man's opinion, and that's what it boils down to. One thing I wanted to point out, two guys missing from this year's list who have historically been on there and some people have been very high on. Can you guess who I'm talking about? Two Yankees prospects.
Would one be Manny Benuelos?
That is one of them, yes. the other one's a little bit harder, not as highly touted, but Dellin Betances also. Benuelos and Betances, you know, two guys the Yankees have been talking about for a long time. And I think Benuelos had been listed by Keith Law now for maybe, I want to say 3 years, going back to when he was a teenager. Not even on the list this year. And I don't know. It's a long way for that guy to fall. I want to say he was top 10 a couple of years ago, and now, you know, there's questions of him even being able to, you know, pitch an inning in the bullpen with a productive result. I don't know. I think it just speaks to the way prospects can fall very quickly.
Yeah, I'm reading here that Benuelos is undergoing Tommy John surgery, and this little article came up on October 2nd of last year, 2012. So
that's right. That's right.
I don't know if maybe knowing that he's going to be out for this whole year, or at least a very large portion, is affecting the list. But yeah, he has been around for a long time, and it is kind of shocking to see him drop that far, all the way out of the top 100. So yeah, but Tommy John Hamjan has struck again, so that might be the deciding factor for Keith Law.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, he might have just left him off the list due to that factor. I don't know. It does make me a little sad, you know, seeing those guys with such high promise and then turning out to be, you know, never pitching a game above double or triple A.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the top 10. We put so much stock into the top 10, top 50 guys, but I mean, this league is made up of a lot more players than that, and a lot of the guys, the highly ranked, highly touted prospects, don't pan out to be what everybody thought they were, and for whatever reasons, it's tough, though. I mean, it's kind of a guessing game with these guys.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Don, I want to thank you for coming on and talking to us. I'm sure we'll have you on again as the season approaches. I'm real excited for this fantasy season to get up and going and to see some of these prospects develop this year.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've been listening to quite a few of your podcasts, and just I'm honored to be invited on the show today. So good luck this season, and it was good talking to you.
All right, Don. Thanks, man.
All right, Ed. Take care.
All right. Now we're going to give my buddy Pat a call and see what his thoughts are on some of these guys.
Coach Ed, talk to me.
What's up, Pat? Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Long time no talk, my friend.
Having you on the podcast today, following Donald Cizik, talk about some of these prospects that came out on Keith Law's top 100 list and Baseball America's top 100 list. Always an interesting day. Someday that I really look forward to every spring. But we'll start off by you telling us a little bit about some guys that you find particularly interesting this year. Could be high, could be low, or guys that you just think are going to be future impact stars. So who do you think is most interesting this year?
Absolutely, Ed. I mean, A, thanks for having me on. And, you know, I mean, prospects are the definition of a lottery ticket. And, you know, looking back over the last couple of years, specifically at some of the top prospects, dating back to 2008, personally, this is my own opinion. I only found four of the 20. So for every year of the top five guys,
okay,
I only think that four of them are busts.
Really?
Those four would include Jabba Chamberlain,
okay,
Colby Rasmus, Travis Snyder, and Dominic Brown.
Out of that group, I only really feel like Dominic Brown and Jabba Chamberlain are busts. I think Snyder and Rasmus are league average, and I don't necessarily think that's a bust. I just think that's them not hitting their ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it from a fantasy perspective. Like,
okay,
I just don't think that Rasmus or Snyder, I mean, both aren't they free agents in our league right now? And I mean, our league is the standard, so
the gold standard of keeper fantasy baseball. Absolutely. That's a good point. Who, really, those are the only four out of 20. So that's dating back.
Well,
so you did 2008, 9, 10, 11, or did you do 9, 10, 11, 12?
Yeah, through 2012. And granted, some of those names are repeats, but included in that list are Longoria, Bruce, Buchholz, Wieters, Price, Hayward, Natale Feliz, Hayward, Strasburg, Carlos Santana, Posey, Stanton, Trout, Harper, Miguel Montero, or not Miguel Montero, Jesus
Montero.
I guess Hosmer. I'm still going to give him a little time before I kind of chalk him up in the bus count. But then Matt Moore, Manny Machado, and Shelby Miller. And so looking at this year's top five, Profar, Taveras, Bundy, Myers, Bogarts, I mean, that's a lottery I'm willing to invest in, and I did. I'm sure we'll touch on that a little bit later in the show.
That's very true. Why don't we touch on that now, just briefly? I mean, in our fantasy league, you own Taveras, Bundy, Myers, and Bogarts. I mean, that's numbers 2 through 5 right there. That's a pretty good haul. Who are you most excited about out of those four?
Just due to position, I would say Bogarts. I know that there's a lot of speculation as to where he's going to ultimately end up. He's played every single game in his minor league career at shortstop. He's only 20 years old, and he finished last year at AAA. So that's a nice feat for such a young guy. And I like to make comparisons, and I think he can be a Troy Tulowitzki type hitter at shortstop, which is a very sparse position.
So you think he's going to spend more than half of every year of his career on the disabled list? Is that what you're trying to get at?
I believe I said comparative to numbers.
Okay, all right.
And not games played, excluding that category.
I'm just taking a cheap shot at Troy Tulowitzki, the glass shortstop of the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, absolutely. But Bogaerts, he's going to play this year on the Netherlands World Baseball Classic, and just due to some of the other guys they have on the roster, Bogaerts is actually going to be playing third base for them. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that. I know that the couple of games he played with Boston early in spring training were at third base to help kind of prepare him for it. But I think it's interesting that they signed Steven Drew to a one-year deal. I know that I'm not sure what his first name is, but that Iglesias is a whiz in the field. But
I think you have a better
bat in your hands at the plate than that guy had.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him as competition for Bogaerts, and you know what, I could realistically see him being Boston starting shortstop in 2014.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is young and is he needs a little bit more polishing, but I was just surprised at the jump that he took because he was fifth in Keith Law's list. Where did he land? He was eighth in Baseball America's list. I think last year Keith Law had him at 62. It just seems like a huge jump and almost like somebody that Keith Law said, you know, he's got potential if he can make this adjustment or that adjustment. And it seems like he did those things to put himself in a good position. But kind of moving on, one guy I was kind of surprised was ranked so high was Miguel Sano of the Minnesota Twins. I've heard this guy has some nice power potential, but I didn't know it warranted an 11th overall ranking by Keith Law and a 9th overall ranking by Baseball America.
I think it's justified. And just to recap real quickly with Bogaerts, it's too bad Theo wasn't able to bring Xander with him as opposed to his twin brother Jair. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, that would have been probably the biggest coup that any baseball team's ever pulled off. I mean, getting Theo and a top five prospect of the future. They ended up getting Boston got the Cubs pitching prospect Chris Carpenter, not the Chris Carpenter that may or may not be retiring this year, but some double A pitching prospect. Whereas if the Cubs would have gotten Theo and Bogaerts, like I don't even understand what they would have had to send back to make that fair. I mean, they probably would have had to give up a legit prospect, but a Cubs fan can dream, and I don't want to look back on that. I'm just happy we got Theo.
I'll let you keep living that dream for the time being. But, yeah, Miguel Sano, just a sidetrack real quick, there's an excellent documentary featuring him. It's called Ball Player Pelotera. It just gives an insight into the type of life that these guys live in the Dominican Republic and neighboring countries where – baseball really is an outlet for life, and obviously most don't pan out, but they really featured Sano, and even though at that time he was still very widely regarded, I mean, just like the whole signability issues, proving his age and his name and all that stuff. I mean, we've seen with Fausto Camona, and I know a couple other guys where, I mean, it comes out later on that they're actually older than they are, or they're not who their name says they are, that kind of stuff. And so Sano went through all that stuff, and there was one sly guy with the Pirates, I believe, who was trying to take advantage of that, saying, oh, nobody believes you're 18 years old, whatever it was. And
Right.
He needed to sign for $250,000 as opposed to, I think, Minnesota ended up giving him like $3 million.
Right.
But no, this is a guy who I believe, I mean, there has not been power like this since Mike Stanton was coming through the minors. It's graded as 80 on the grade scale. He's only 19 years old and just an absolute physical specimen. He's 6'3", 245 pounds, with power to all fields, not just a pole hitter. He actually runs quite well for his size, too. And another guy who started out as shortstop, but, I mean, his body compared to Bogaerts, obviously was not going to let him stay at shortstop. So,
right, yeah.
He spent the whole past year at third base, and I believe he ultimately ends up staying or moving to one of the corner outfield spots. The Twins fans definitely have something to look forward to.
I was gonna say they've got also Byron Buxton coming up. Their draft pick from last year. Baseball America's got him at 10 already, and he's just entering his first full pro season. Keith Law's got him at 22. I mean, is that guy the real deal too? I've heard he's got both power and speed, but he's also unpolished out of a high school in Georgia.
Right, yeah, and that's why I like to see a little bit of history with numbers with some of these guys, and absolutely, me personally, I believe in Sano a little bit more than Buxton. I mean, Sano is a little bit more of a one-dimensional player with power. He did lead the Midwest League this past year at the ripe age of 19 with 28 home runs in a relatively regarded pitcher's league. And interesting, he led the league in walks, strikeouts, and home runs. So, sounds a little bit like an Adam Dunn type player.
I would take that as a fantasy owner. Obviously, you'd like to see that strikeout rate drop, and then he could probably enter into the elite category. But, I mean, Adam Dunn had some incredible years there before he had an embarrassing collapse with your White Sox 2 years back, but I would take that from a guy who could potentially play third base, or even if he did move to a corner outfield. One guy I wanted to bring up because I was kind of surprised to see him so high so soon, Jose Fernandez, Miami Marlins pitching prospect. He's ranked 5th by Baseball America, 16th by Keith Law. This guy's only 20 years old. Most of the season, he was 19 last year. Is this guy a future ace? I mean, he's ranked ahead of some other pretty stellar pitchers.
I think he's got the tools and the arsenal to become that next wave of elite star in pitching. I would have a hard time putting him ahead of, in Baseball America, some of the other guys who have higher experience and, for the most part, just as gaudy numbers throughout the minors. I would like to see him in 2013, this upcoming season, really repeat what he did at a higher level, such as Double-A, before I really start penciling him in as the next big thing in terms of starting pitching. But no doubt he put up a heck of a season in 2012, and I just feel bad for him that he's a part of the Marlins organization right now.
That's a good point. I mean, he's got a lot of opportunity there. He could end up being the next Josh Beckett or Josh Johnson for them. But, the guy did strike out 158 guys in 134 innings. That's, what is that? That's 10.6 strikeouts per 9 innings. He held opposing batters to a 191 average. It was 14-1 with a 1.75 ERA. This guy seems like he has the raw stuff. He hits 97 and 99 regularly, but I don't see him contributing in Miami for, I want to say, at least a year and a half, especially because they don't want to start his arbitration clock if they're not competing.
Right. And you know what? I guess myself and you, Ed, aren't the only ones who like him. I just saw it today on the news that Scott Boris is his new agent.
Wow, really? Well, Boris has an eye for young talent. That's for sure.
That he does.
Well, one thing that's interesting that I wanted to bring up that you kind of just reminded me of with the whole young talent thing. you were talking about how going back historically, the top five prospects each year and how they've panned out so far. If you consider Jose Fernandez a top five prospect in the Baseball America list, I mean, he would be part of that category. One thing that I did see a few weeks back was an interesting article talking about the percentage of top prospects, quote unquote, that make it to elite status in the major leagues. And it was interesting because obviously, you know, there's guys like Brian Mattis that end up being flops. I mean, the Royals had Mike Montgomery and Danny Duffy and John Lamb coming up, and they've all
Danny
fit.
Duffy's going to be a stud.
Okay, that's a little bias from your own fantasy team there, but I mean, their expectations were sky high. They all failed to meet them. And the study was talking about the fact that pitchers especially more frequently fail to meet their expectations than elite hitting prospects. Something like 5% of elite pitching prospects attain elite status in the major leagues, and something like 15% of hitters that were elite prospects attain that elite status in the big. So I think it'll be interesting to see, because like you were talking about earlier, it's the ultimate lottery ticket. But then, you know, especially when you've got an organization like Miami who needs somebody to come up, I mean, they've got what could be called a 5% chance at getting an ace out of Fernandez.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree with what you said, Ed. I think pitchers are less likely to fully reach the enormous expectations that so many of us put on them as opposed to hitters. But, you know, the way that the Marlins are at right now, they might be able to get lightning in a bottle. I know they got Fernandez that's very highly regarded as, along with that Christian Yelich. He's a guy I haven't followed a whole lot just due to the fact that I don't own him in our in our fantasy league. But everything I read about him is he's got the pure hit tool, and he seems like a guy who is going to get there a little bit quicker than Fernandez, but with the potential to enter a lineup with Stanton and Yelich, and I mean, they do have a couple of nice pieces there, so we'll see what happens with the Marlins.
Yeah, that's true, because I mean, Yelich is 15th in Baseball America, but he is 6th in Keith Law's rankings, which puts him right outside that top five category you were talking about.
Right, right. And another guy I'm a little bit too high on is, it might come a little shocking to you due to the fact that I own him, but Tylan Walker, he checked in at number 9 with Keith Law, and don't get me wrong, I think Walker is a great prospect, but I just think he's rated too high for the performance he's had thus far. I know he's super young. They let him bypass, I believe, single A due to the fact that it was a definite hitter's park, and they didn't want to shatter the confidence or all that stuff that factors into those management type decisions. But he really struggled in the second half last season, posting a 5+ ERA. But I do understand the other side of the argument where he's so young that doesn't have a whole lot of experience pitching that length of a season, and also considering the competition he was facing in Double A.
Right. I mean, he was the youngest everyday, starting pitcher every turn in the rotation at 19 years old in Double A last season. So I think fatigue's probably set in, and probably just a little bit of organizational pressure, you know, pressure from being a highly touted prospect and being just so young, surrounded by older players.
Yeah, all that stuff factors in, and I mean, I understand he has the ideal makeup for a frontline starting pitcher. He's got the big body. I believe he's around 6'4", 200 pounds with the nice downward plane that you like to see. Mm-hmm. No doubt he has the ace caliber stuff, but I know you had the opportunity to see him in person, so what were your observations?
I actually did not see him pitch. I saw Hulton pitch. I do live in Jackson, Tennessee, home of the Jackson Generals, Double-A affiliate of the Mariners. But I got a chance to see guys like Franklin, Nick Franklin, that is, like I said, I believe
the 6,000 calorie man.
The 6,000 calorie a day man. That is interesting. He's trying to gain some weight. But this year, I'm looking forward. Hopefully, I'll get to see Walker again. And I'm not sure where Paxton and Hulson will end up starting the year, but even Zunino, might skip double A, go right to triple A. So they've got some exciting guys, but I'm just hoping that they get a little bit more time at double A so I can look at them. But when I did watch Franklin last year, he roped a triple into the right center gap from the left side of the plate. I believe he's a switch hitter, so any power from the left side is big when you're talking about a prospect. But one guy I actually want to touch on real quick before I got to let you go, Jed Gaiorco. I know you're really high on him, but he is actually ranked pretty low, I believe, in the low 70s on both lists. Why is he so low? I thought that this guy was like the third baseman of the future for the Padres organization.
Yeah, I really scratched my head at the ranking for Mr. Jed. I mean, this is a guy who, me personally, the type of progression he made is the progression I like to see. It was real steady. It wasn't drastic where he's jumping two minor league levels at a time. Really putting his time in each level, and plain and simple, this guy can mash. And that's something the Padres are definitely in need of. As we saw together in San Diego this summer, we had the opportunity to take in a game at the beautiful mm-hmm. Petco Park, but they are moving in the fences this year at Petco. It'll still be a predominantly pitchers-heavy park, but, I mean, no doubt it's gonna help out the hitting lineup a little bit. And I know that with Headley locking down third base, I know that his future is a little bit shaky with the rumors swirling around that maybe they're going to try to cash out on him, but mm-hmm. That is Gaiorco's natural position. But he's been playing this spring training, and also at the end of last year, he was playing a lot of games at second base, preparing himself to fill the void there. And he is off to a very hot start this year in spring training, and I believe he starts the season as the starting second baseman for the Padres this year.
Interesting. Moving over to second base. I mean, I've heard that, people fear the development of players will be stunted by, either being forced to change a position or being blocked by somebody. I've never agreed or believed in that mindset. I just think if somebody is good enough to play at a major league level, the organization will find a way to make it happen. Just like kind of, Profar coming up and Andrews being a shortstop in Arlington, they're going to find a way to get Profar his at bats. If he is as elite of a prospect as he is widely considered, but even with Gaiorco, if he shows that he can mash as much as you think he can, then they're going to find a spot for him. Or they're going to make their team and organization better through some sort of a trade to open up a possible situation for him. But we'll let you go now, Hayes. You got anything you want to wrap up with here at the end?
I'm real excited about this upcoming season. I think the White Sox are in for a tough year in the AL Central. The Tribe really improved themselves this year. The Royals added some much needed starting pitching, but I don't know if the White Sox are going to have a chance. They need some healthy starting pitching, and if they're able to get John Danks back, their opening day starter last year, to take that number three spot behind my boy Jake Peavy and the nasty Chris Sale, I think they can be pretty competitive this year. But I'm just happy to see baseball back in action and ready for the season.
I know, man. Tell me about it. I'm very ready for opening day. And we'll have you back on sometime. Talk about how our fantasy teams are doing. Maybe do a little bit of a fantasy team preview for some of the guys we own in our keeper leagues. So stay tuned. But thanks again for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
All right. Well, that will wrap it up for our Prospects Preview 2013. Join us next time. We'll be talking to Scott Clay about a wide variety of things for the upcoming baseball season. Taking a leaf out of Matthew Berry and Nate Ravitz's book over at ESPN, doing some board bets. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you next time on In the Loop.